This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free and we're talking.
Mostly free.
Well, it's free talk live anyway.
Can't even say what you want.
It doesn't cost you anything to call except for maybe a. As long distance
drop,
even a thing
drop a dime.
Anymore? I don't think long distance exists anymore, does it?
Yeah, like, international calls are still.
Like, if you're outside of the 603 area code and you call 603-283-6160 to be on this show. Do you get charged long distance? Not on my cell phone.
Not on your cell phone.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
For some of a landline. I don't know.
Even that's dropping.
Wow. I'm that old.
The next step is international calls, because I still think it costs a few pennies.
That does.
To call Canada and Mexico.
Yeah, we had Jason Henza called us from Mexico last night.
Okay.
And I don't know what that took or how to do it. Maybe he's got a U.S. cell phone.
It's the same
roaming.
Concept, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Like we can go all the way across the United States from L.A. to New York, but like Acapulco to San Antonio is a few bucks.
Or like Canada's like closer to us than right. Like Austin, yeah. Texas, but somehow it's free from Austin.
If I want to call Quebec, I got to pay, yeah. But I can call all the way down to Austin, no problem.
I think cell phone plans, you just update your plan to international. And
right, but I'm suggesting that concept needs to go the way of the dodo, much like long distance did.
Yeah.
Like, are we not to that point yet? Or is the greedy capitalist in the cell phone networks? Yeah, we've gotten past that too.
Yeah. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Richie Rich.
Matt P.
Before we go on, I want to tell you that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Last year, Dash launched a killer app that allows you to spend Dash at over 155,000 locations across the United States, including major retailers, and you get a discount for paying in Dash. It's not all of them. Some of them there's no discount, but some of them there's, you know, 5, 6, I've seen 8%, depending on, you know, the day or what they're offering at this particular point, but it's pretty cool. So you have a reason to spend your crypto. It's called Dash Direct. I use it. I was using it actually long before Dash was even sponsoring Free Talk Live again here because I thought it was cool. I was using Dash to buy stuff at like Home Depot. I'm doing a light remodel on my house, you know, doing some construction and getting rid of some. My house is old and so it needs some updating, right?
I've heard some of the updates though, and I don't know if I'd call it light remodel at this point.
Well, I mean, when you get into remodeling your house, one thing leads to another. You're like, oh, I guess I better replace that in order to get to the next thing that we're going to do. And so, yeah, it's turned into more than. Longer and more money. This is how these things go, right? Whatever your budget is for your home improvement project, you should double it.
In tech, I've heard it called the upgrade cascade, because everything you replace, you got to replace something more and more and more.
Yep. At any rate, Dash Direct is available on Apple or Android. The stores on Dash Direct each offer their own discount level, but some are as high as 8 to 9% off. Dash is the only cryptocurrency with incentives to spend rather than hold, thanks to Dash Direct. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies, widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get, easy to use. Start by learning more at dash.org. And thank you to the Dash DAO, the Decentralized Autonomous Organization, for providing us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit dash.org to learn about Dash. That's dash.org. So... All right, so we have some more calls to get to.
Who's it going to be?
Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? It's going to be this guy. I believe it's Jerome in South Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live.
Trump train, choo-choo!
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Trump train. Hey, by the way, hey, Richie Rich, where can I get me one of those Trump University college degrees?
Is there a Trump University?
Yeah, that's where a couple of years ago they were advertising he had a Trump University. I've been looking for the location. I can't find it. You think you could help me?
It's probably just an online university.
Also, too, Jerome, you could probably just make like a generic certificate and then put like Trump University on it. And
I did that in PowerPoint.
Yeah, and sell it for my own diploma.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you're looking for a university degree, Jerome, try the Mises University first and see where that takes you.
Well, you said you have a master's degree. Where's yours from?
Gonzaga University.
Oh, the Bulldogs.
Yep.
Washington.
Is there?
Okay.
A reputable university, too.
Very reputable.
Hey, yeah. It ain't Penn. It ain't Harvard. It's not Yale.
He didn't go to community college.
Yeah. But here's the irony about, like, the master's degree at Gonzaga University in the business program.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Just about everything we read was out of the Harvard Business Review. It was the same stuff they teach at Harvard for a fraction of the price.
Harvard. It's not Harvard.
It's not. It's absolutely not.
Harvard. It's Harvard. Yeah. You have to talk like Winston Powell III.
No, because I didn't go to Harvard. I'm not from Boston.
Right.
The Crimson.
Yeah.
The Crimson. It's Harvard.
I saw that when I was in college. I went to Johnson & Wales in Providence, Rhode Island, and a lot of my professors were also professors at Brown University.
Mm.
And I'm like,
we had Johnson & Wales here in Charleston.
You do?
One time.
Yeah. So you get the same information.
Same information.
Fraction of the price.
Yeah. On a discount.
No. Now, it doesn't network as well when you get out of school, but still.
I was wondering, how's he gonna wrangle off the hook on this new espionage charge? Hey, by the way, just let me give you some talk about that. I spent 8 years in the military, okay, in the Air Force. I handled classified information for 8 years. I had to check people at this one base I worked at. I had to check people every day. At my post to make sure they didn't take any classified information unwittingly out of the building.
You got paid to feel up other military members.
5 days a week, okay? Loads and loads and loads of classified information.
Is that a roll of documents in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
who in the hell houses classified information in their bathroom and a room without any security or whatsoever?
Every president ever.
Yeah, because they're the president. They don't check out like the rest of the military does at your post.
You seen Obama do it?
Yeah.
Huh? Yep. Yeah. Hillary did it.
When?
Oh, Shredder.
When?
During their presidency. Yes, they all take classified documents home.
Where's the evidence you saw them handling classified information like Trump does?
Well, I never even saw Trump handling classified information. So if I say I have no evidence for any of them ever handling classified information, I redirect the question to you, Durham. Where's your evidence that Trump handled any classified information, that you saw him handle any classified information?
Did you hear that tape of him saying that?
Nope.
Showing these people these classified about attacking Iran.
Nope.
Yeah, they want World War III.
All that stuff can be fake. How do you know it's authentic?
Yeah. No, it ain't fake, man.
How do you know?
It ain't fake.
How do you know?
It ain't fake.
How do you know?
The department ain't playing.
How do you know that it's not fake, Jerome?
That guy ain't playing.
How do you know?
Even if it's true.
This is not a joke.
Even if it's true.
This is not a joke, man.
Even if it's true. Right.
It is true.
The precedent that Trump is relying on, right, is that every other president before him has a stash of classified documents.
No, you're wrong.
Right. Biden wrong. Got caught with the Corvette in the garage.
And he turned it all in.
Richie Rich is definitely alive, and I'm pretty sure he's correct.
He turned it all in. He turned everything in.
After he took it away and got caught.
Yeah, he got caught, and he turned it in. Trump didn't turn anything in. In fact, he tried to. He was keeping it. He refused to turn it over to them. Many times they gave him many times to turn it over, and he refused to do it. That's why he's in the position he's in now.
That's fine.
He's talking about people coming to get him. He's helping them
right.
do it.
But you're hung up on the fact that he took the documents. I had to stop and frisk everyone at my post. How did Trump get out of the White House with all these documents? And the answer is the same way all the other presidents did. And the only discerning difference between the two is when caught, Trump didn't turn them back in, right? So
yeah,
Biden went, you got me. Right? Hillary
which
went, wow,
illegal.
I don't have the servers anymore.
Which is illegal. He's talking about locking people up. Look what they, no way. You believe in karma? He's running his mouth about locking
I love how when Jerome gets, like, into it, his voice goes up like this, and he gets talking a little bit higher than he was talking before.
Well, you sound so ridiculous in your defense of him, that's why.
I'm not defending him. You asked why you think, why we think he could get away with it, and the answer is because there's precedent set
yes.
for all the presidents doing it. How could he get away with this? Same as all the others.
You know, look, you know what I remember Mitch McConnell saying about a thing about a bomb?
Look, no, we don't know what you remember. Look, Jerome, we don't remember. Look.
We're going to do everything
we made
you
cough.
You ever heard of karma, man? You ever heard of karma? You know what karma does to you?
Hey, thanks for the call, Jerome. 603-283-6160. Let's go to
put you in that position after 8 years of
military
service.
Let's go to this guy. What is your first name? You're live on Free Talk Live. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. What's your first name, please? You can make
my
one up.
Name
tough
is,
question.
And don't lie, we have caller ID.
My name is Mateo. What's up?
Mateo, hey. You're on Free Talk Live. You're live on the air. What's on your mind? Don't hold back.
This is your moment to shine.
Are you? Do you have the radio on in the background? You're going to have to turn that off because there's a delay and you won't be able to have a good conversation with us. I'm going to put you back on hold. Turn your radio off in the background. I'll bring you back on in a minute.
You know, no more question. What's your name?
Hello,
No, you got to elongate it.
Let's talk to this guy. I think I know who this is. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name, please?
My name is
Colin
Axelman.
Okay.
Hey, Alou. Hey, Alou. You're live on the air. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to respond. I'm still a few days behind on the podcast. I wanted to respond to the Supreme Court cases. I know Captain Kickass and whoever else is there cares very deeply about the Supreme Court and all of the other people in D.C. who are our lords, especially those with long black robes. So I wanted to explain that there was a recent case about affirmative action, which is essentially the federal policy that requires colleges to have certain amounts of people or certain lower admission standards for people that the federal government thinks is dumber, like black people, which it's sick that they're racist and the federal government, D.C. politicians, Democrats think that black people are so dumb they need a lower standards on their standardized tests to get
they
to college.
They tweeted about it afterwards.
Yeah, they said black people, I'm paraphrasing, but they were like, black people will never be able to make it on a merit system. Like, what?
Yeah,
what? How racist can you possibly be?
I think I've written one or two articles on libertyblock.com over the last few years saying, and the title is, Blacks Are Stupid, Says Federal Government Democrats. And people got upset about the title, but that's literally what their policy is. The Democrat National Committee platform says they're so dumb they can't get an ID, so whatever ID is racist because no blacks know how to get IDs because they're so stupid. So, yeah, you know, it's all been this movement. But anyway, but I want to explain how the Supreme Court case works, and it's similar to the Bruin case, the other gun cases, and pretty much every case.
Okay, go ahead.
The Supreme Court almost never rules in the favor of liberty or the Constitution. But even when they do, it doesn't matter because they have loopholes. And even when there are no loopholes for the authoritarians to violate our rights, still, it doesn't matter because guess what? The only institution in the federal government that I know of that doesn't have a SWAT team that enforces what they say is the Supreme Court. So like Andrew Jackson said, I believe, a long time ago, the president, the Supreme Court made the decision, now let them come enforce it, like them and what army. So the 9 old people in black robes, their mean age is like 70. They're not going to use physical force to physically force these people,
right,
the colleges, to not be racist. But also, they did leave a big loophole. In this one, they said they can't have strict quotas, like saying we're reserving 40% of our seats for black people and only 1% for Asians and whites. But they can use race in part of their standards, part of their admissions for applicants,
right,
for these colleges. If the applicant says in part of their admissions essay that I had a hard time growing up because of my color and blah, blah, whatever. So it's part of my difficulties in life. My adversity. So it really gives them a massive loophole that is so wide open that I think it's a nothing burger. So I'm not sure why conservatives and libertarians are celebrating.
Well, I guess I don't understand why libertarians are celebrating anyway, right? Because don't we as libertarians defend individuals' rights to discriminate based on whatever they want and extend that to corporations and, you know, companies and whatever?
Yes, and I've written a few articles about, okay, about discrimination, how it's the ultimate, like one of the foundational natural rights of humans,
right,
to discriminate. That so, being said, these colleges take a lot of federal government money, and they are essentially very much like a government institution. That's okay. Why they shouldn't be able to discriminate.
So we would say that they should be able to discriminate based on whatever they want, if it's 40% black, 2% white, and 1% Asian, or
yes,
whatever, but then the federal government doesn't give them any funding. But perfectly
fine. The federal government shouldn't exist, and therefore they shouldn't fund anything,
okay,
especially colleges, especially forcing you and me to pay for it.
Agreed.
All right. But discrimination, totally cool.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of discrimination. In fact, I discriminate against Chinese people. I've never dated a Chinese girl, and I discriminate against Coke because I only drink Pepsi. And I discriminate against California because I live in New Hampshire and I never have been to California and never want to.
You're such a
bigot. So I discriminate. Oh. Everyone discriminates. Every single decision every person makes, every human, is inherently discriminatory because they choose one over another, and that's the nature of the word decision.
Yeah,
so,
well, and it also gets us to preferences, right?
Uh-huh.
And this is where I always talk about. We all have different preferences. We all have different needs. I'm probably the best person to decide what my own preferences are. If you try to force your preferences on me, you're always in the wrong.
But I really want to go to Harvard, and I can't.
Well.
But I should be allowed in on a merit-based system because I'm smarter than 40% of the applicants.
Says you, right? But, like, if they just don't like that you have a beard... And don't want you to go to their school. They should be allowed to be like, sorry, Richie Rich, we don't like your beard. You're not coming here.
Terrible. I'm taking it to the Supreme Court.
The burrito Supreme Court?
Maybe.
Sour cream and onions and green peppers and olives?
Yeah, and we saw a similar thing with the Supreme Court with the gun cases. There were a few decent ones, McDonald, D.C. versus Heller, and the latest one, Bruin versus New York State or whatever. The same thing. They said... you can have some regulations on guns, or you have to allow for the permit. You can't be a shall not issue state. You have to be a shall issue or may issue state. And what New York State said, and New York City said, or whatever, is they're authoritarians. So we'll give you the permit, but you can't carry in sensitive places. And sensitive places includes all buildings that can have adults or children or commerce or education or other things or public or sensitive or potential dangers.
So what kind of a permit is that?
In the world. Well, it means you can carry in your own bathtub if you're alone.
Ooh.
There was a dude that defended himself with a shower gun. That's a real thing. So if you don't have one, get one.
I got to get a shower gun. That's true.
So, and again, I'll go back to what I said earlier, right? Fine. You want to exercise your right to the Second Amendment in New York, and they're aggressing against that quote-unquote right. What are you going to do? Right? Are you going to let them take it, or are you going to defend against it? And if you let them take it, then stop calling it a right, and just move about your life and business as a law-abiding citizen. A disarmed law-abiding citizen.
Well, I moved. I was in New York City, and I moved. And,
you did the smart thing.
Union was one of the biggest reasons. But, yeah, I mean, if you're implying that a right is only a right if you are willing to die to defend it, I'm not sure that I'd necessarily agree. I think.
Oh no, that's what I'm saying.
Natural rights. Yeah, I mean, I think natural rights are, you know, kind of hard to define and describe, and that's why you have to have a like-minded community, like we have in the free state of New Hampshire.
That's why our definition is two parts. Skeeter.
Yeah. But what is it? Those the rights, the things that you agree in.
That which is agreed upon by the community, or that which you can defend against.
Yeah. So maybe I do agree, especially focusing on the fact that the whole society, you know, in general, New Hampshire ideally agrees that we have certain natural negative rights.
Yeah. But if they change their mind and aggress, right, you're either going to lose the right or you're going to defend against it. And if you can lose the right, right, then was it a right to begin with, or do you have to defend it?
Yeah, there is a trend, if you will, that I've noticed over the course of my 51 years on planet Earth, particularly in the United States. I think boiling frogs is probably the most popular analogy, and this is where they just slowly take away your rights a little bit at a time so that you don't notice that they're gone. But what it is high time for, I think, is for people to start standing up, whether it's verbally, physically. Standing up for yourselves, standing up for your family, standing up for your neighbors, your community. It's definitely time. for that type of an action. We have, this is a holiday weekend for most of the United States. There's something that most people now call July 4th. I can't call it that.
Secession Day.
I can't call it that. I call it Independence Day. And I don't call it Independence Day to, like, appeal to your sense of patriotism or your former statism or anything like that. I call it that because this is a day with which individuals should examine themselves. How independent am I? Where am I not independent in my life? How can I be more independent? How can I help others be more independent?
And for most people outside of New Hampshire, right, go ahead and celebrate your independence after you get your permit for fireworks.
Right. And your barbecue.
Yeah. How's that independence working out for you?
Did you know that there are places where you have to get a permit to have to grill?
I did not know.
Like on your property?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's another weird one, right?
Yeah. Like, I can't fire up my grill? I can't throw some pork chops on the barbecue?
If the smoke and smell wafts into your neighbor, are you violating the NAP on their sense of smell? That is a debate that I've had, and it's a weird one.
Or even close to New England, I think like Vermont has a thing where you can't have an open like backyard fire.
Open
you have to have like chimney over it or something.
Okay.
Well, even the meat is going to be illegal too once you go over your daily carbon allowance or something with the Green New Deal.
Oh right, yeah.
So are we going to allow them to take away those rights, or are we going to stand up for something?
I suspect the majority of the population in the United States of America will go, well, I guess I'll just have to have a corn roast then instead of, like, burgers and dogs and steaks.
Well, which is why it's happy. More the 4th of July than it is Independence
right.
Day.
Right. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, just eat the bugs.
Just eat the bugs. Hey, Alu, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. Yeah, the reason I refer to it as Independence Day is because, well, I sure would like a lot more people to think of being independent than currently do. People falsely celebrate this holiday for the wrong reason, right? They're like, oh, I get some time off work. Oh, I get to barbecue in camp. It's like, that's not what this holiday, you know,
well,
is
supposed
even
to be
remotely
like
about. You know what I mean?
That's why really, we have the fireworks.
That's what most of the holidays are. They just take the day off work instead of understanding what they actually have the day off for.
Yeah. And so that bugs me. It's one of the reasons that I my EP drops on Independence Day. It's called Eleutheromania. If you don't know what that means, it means an insatiable desire for freedom. And all three songs on the EP are exactly that. They are, you know, songs about being more independent, about you know, what has gone on, what has caused the lack of independence that we've seen just in the time that I've been alive. You find out more about that at CaptainKickass.com. The telephone number in the studio is 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us. Coming up, we still have our number two story to get to, and we also want to talk about what's popping off in France. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA News Update. Two people were killed and more than two dozen others injured when gunfire erupted at a crowded block party early Sunday in Baltimore. Mayor Brandon Scott called the shooting a, quote, cowardly act. France is being rocked by a fifth day of protests over the police shooting death of a teenager. Thousands of riot police were patrolling the streets of Paris and other major cities the day after the funeral of Nehal Mirzouk. Former Vice President Mike Pence says President Biden is acting too slowly in providing military weapons to Ukraine. Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, Pence said the Biden administration has not delivered on weapons it promised months ago. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is leading at the box office in its debut weekend with $60 million. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Well done, man. Yeah. I feel like you're one of us now. Oh. Somehow.
I mean, you were already, but, you know.
It's official now.
Now you've been initiated, right? This is the hazing has ended. That was it.
It was painless.
It is Free Talk Live.
As a libertarian hazing should be.
Right?
It's the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain,
Richie Rich,
Matt P.
Before we go on, Free Talk Live listeners, we're asking you for a favor. As you perhaps already know, Ian Freeman, this show's founder, was recently convicted of various victimless crimes. He's facing up to 20 years in prison. We can argue all day as if the jury was mistaken, but that's not going to get us anywhere. What will be helpful is if you were to write a letter to the Honorable Joseph LaPlante about Ian's character, how he has helped the community, helped you, helped your family, helped your friends, whatever it is, and why you think he deserves a light sentence. Saying things about yourself that give your opinion weight with government may also be helpful, such as if you served in the military or if you held office, something along those lines would be something to mention. Ian is a selfless man that has always tried to do what he thinks is right since I've known him. It would be a tragedy if he had to spend any time at all in prison. We do need these letters quickly, so don't put it off. Send your letter for Ian Freeman to 63 Emerald Street, number 610, Keene, New Hampshire, 03431. If you didn't get all that written down, that's okay. All the info you need is at letters.freetalklive.com. That's letters.freetalklive.com. Thank you to everybody who sent a letter so far, but keep them coming. We need them, and we need them as soon as you can write them.
I don't know if I've said this on air recently, but Ian is probably the most principled person I've ever met.
Consistent, yeah.
Consistently principled.
Yeah, 100% agree with that.
Yep.
Yeah, and, like, you're not the only person to tell me that. People that I've, like, who have met Ian or whatever, but I've never met, when they, like, particularly at Porkfest and Forkfest,
yep.
I'm meeting all sorts of people, and, you know, they've been listening to Free Talk Live or whatever, and they, oh, hey, I just want to let Ian know we're thinking about it, let Ian know we care, let Ian know, and they all say the same thing. They're like, he is the most principled libertarian I've ever met. He consistently, does what he says, and he maintains his principled position, and he's able to defend it,
yep.
Right? And so that's impressive. Desire to be that consistent. You know, I'm human. I'm fallible. I'm going to make mistakes. It happens. Yeah. Mark,
but he makes far less than the rest of us.
Mark jokes that he's Spock of the libertarian community, that Ian is Spock of the libertarian community. And, like, I can't really argue that with him. You know, he is that consistent with his logic.
Yep.
So, yeah, letters.freetalklive.com, everybody. Let's just continue on with your calls. Let's go back to Mateo. You're on Free Talk Live. Yes.
All right. So I wanted to bring up a political theory. So you guys are libertarians, right?
Allegedly.
All right. So this is going to sound a little bit crazy, but Stalin himself, you know, Joseph Stalin.
I don't know him personally, but sure.
He was a libertarian. Now, I will explain this. Just give me a moment. His collective system, you know, the collectivization that he did in the 1930s.
Vaguely?
Well, it wasn't actually a state institution. It was more of a civil institution that, what's the word for it?
Murdered a whole bunch of people?
That's all I know about him. Okay. He murdered a whole bunch of people.
Okay.
No, he didn't murder anyone.
Oh, okay. Ordered the murder of a whole bunch of people.
That's like saying Hitler didn't kill anyone.
Right.
But he didn't. The Holocaust didn't happen.
Oh, we haven't died.
The wooden doors.
There we go.
Explain the wooden doors in Auschwitz.
I'm sorry. You were going to make a point about Stalin, so let's continue down that road.
So about the Kulaks, the Kulak system, that was something that was never a part of the Russian peasant culture. It's much different. When Americans see this collectivization process, they see it like, oh, taking away your rights. But the public farms, they were never owned by the state. They were civil institutions.
Okay.
The thing is, like, Stalin, he made it like the land just couldn't be bought and sold, but it had nothing to do with the government. And that prevents monopolies. And that is the same issue that America has today. It has a lot of monopolies, especially with, like, major foreign companies buying out farmland, and they're attacking the American farmers. I'm sure you know that.
How does preventing people from buying and selling land make Joseph Stalin a libertarian?
Yeah, that's you mentioned that Joseph Stalin was libertarian, and that's the part I'm curious about. How did you make that determination?
Well, because of his economic policies that he was going to enact.
Okay. So you understand that libertarian is more than just economic policy, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a libertarian. That means
you've claimed it multiple times. I'm still waiting for a defense of it.
In his writings, in his measures for elevating collective farm property, he says, what measures are necessary to raise collective farm property, which, of course, is not public property, to the level of public national property? Some people think that it is the thing to do is simply to nationalize collective farm property, to proclaim it public property in the way that was done in the past in the case of capitalist property. Such a proposal would be absolutely wrong and quite unacceptable. Collective farm property is socialist property, and we simply cannot treat it in the same way as capitalist property. From that, collective farm property is not public property. It by no means follows that it is not socialist property. These people believe that the conversion of the property of individuals or groups of individuals into state property is the only or at any rate the best form of nationalization. But that is not true. The fact is that conversion into state property is not the only way or even the best form of nationalization. This is not true. The fact is that conversion into state property is not the only or even the best form. As Engels quite rightly says in the Antiduri,
is he reading from
unquestionably, so long
I mean, if
as
he's making the argument, I'll hear the argument.
State property is the most natural initial form of nationalization, but the state will not exist forever. With the extension of the sphere of operational socialism in the majority of the countries in the world, the state will die away, and of course, the conversion of property of individuals or groups of individuals into state property will consequently lose its meaning. The state will have died away, but society will remain. Hence, the here of public property will then be not the state, which will have died away, but society itself in the shape of central, directing, and economic body. The collective form was a civil institution, as I said before. The whole kulak system with the farmers and everything, that was created by a guy named Pyotr Stolypin. And that was in 1908.
Okay, so Stalin's prediction that the state will go away is your defense that he was a libertarian.
I'm not even done.
So well, I don't know how much longer we're going to let you go.
Yeah, I mean, you sound like you're reading from a book. If you're not able to articulate your defense without reading from a book, then you probably shouldn't be calling.
I don't mind the reading from a book, but we're not producing an audiobook podcast here either. Right. So if you have a book recommendation for people to read.
I'm quoting. I thought I was quoting you.
Understood. But that sounded at least like a page.
Okay. Can you stop interrupting?
LRN.FM.
So much for Daryl Johnston.
Mateo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mateo. Sorry, the call ID read Daryl Johnston.
Yeah. Well, I told him not to lie.
Yeah.
So you have it.
Yeah. So there we have it.
I think the point is you can find libertarian aspects of probably anybody out there, but that doesn't mean that all their policies are libertarian.
That was my point about Maj earlier.
Right,
it's a
right.
one-issue guy.
Right. And also, too, like, if you're going to get upset because you called into a show and you're unable to make your point to a point where you're going to, you know, start calling us names and, you know, using bad words.
And we gave him a long leash.
Yeah.
That was a long leash
that was
to
pretty
read a
long.
Chapter of a book.
Yeah, that was pretty long. So, Mateo.
Good luck next time.
Thank you very little. It was ungratefully depreciated.
Nice.
Moving right along, let's go to this guy. It's Ricky from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
No doubt. Now, I'll tell you what, Miss Bonnie did that. She made my heart go bumpity-bumpity-bumpity. And I don't know if...
Sure, that was your part.
But I rewarded that, no doubt. I'm going to be taking care of that in a couple of days, no doubt, because it makes me feel so happy. She sounded so cute when she said it, too, no doubt. You know,
he's got the recording.
I have to follow so this last caller now. You know, I had a whole other topic in mind, but it kind of bleeds into this. But I'm going to be talking about Jerome in a minute. Now, I have to admit, you know, I heard what you were called there, Richie, a certain slang term that means ignorant Negro. Now, I've been called that. But, you know, when I grow up, you're around my age, Captain. You're about 1 year off from me, a couple of months, whatever. You know, I'm almost 50 now. Growing up, I have to admit the popular term I was called was cracker. You know?
Somebody brought up Cracker Barrel on last night's show, and I thought, why would you ever stuff a perfectly good white person into a barrel?
Well, you know what? And I remember growing up. Now, I understood that one. And I said, I ain't no cracker, you know.
I was, hang on, Ricky,
are
hang
you
on.
Sure?
I was, do you know what white labeling is? Are you familiar with this term? This is where, this is where you go to a company who, like, you want to start your own product, right? I want to make water bottles, right? These reusable water bottles. But I want them to say kick-ass water bottles, right? I don't want them to say Duraflask or whatever, right? I want them to say kick-ass water bottles. So I go to a company that already makes these and I go, hey, can I get a white label deal? And this is where they manufacture the product and then they just put my logo on their existing product already. Right, and then I get it at a wholesale price. This is called white labeling. So what I want to do is I want to go to a saltine cracker manufacturing company and go, hey, can I get a white label deal? And what I want to do is I want to make, like, the low-budget, low-bottom-shelf saltine crackers that their brand is apostrophe SUP, That's the brand name of the crackers, so that when somebody's walking through the aisle of the grocery store and they come down to the crackers and they look and they go, "Sup, crackers?"
Nice.
Oh, I get it. That took a while to get there, but I totally get it.
Oh, this coming from Ricky. It took a while. What do you mean, Ricky? You're the king of taking a while to get there. What are you going to criticize me?
You're the slow burn.
I at least got there, and I made a joke.
I like it. I like it. And you know, it's pretty witty. And that's exactly it. But the reality is, I don't know who's been hitting people with a whip. I mean, yeah, the British did that. But I think, you know, I sure as hell did. But here's the one I'm thinking about, honky. To this day, I still don't know what the hell a honky is. Does anybody enlighten me, to you guys, or anybody out there?
Probably stems from the old, like, country bars and the honky-tonks.
Oh, I don't know about that. That's what I thought. Do you think so?
That's the closest estimation I have.
I have no idea the etymology of honky.
I was skin shade versus a pig.
But here's
skin shade versus a pig's skin color.
Okay, maybe.
Well, here's what my topic was about. And I was sitting, it's funny I hear this guy, that earlier I heard Jerome. Now it's funny. Now, I've heard Jerome since I came back. No, I'm not new. But you know, this ain't 2017 anymore, and it's a whole new
thing. No one remembers from 2017.
I'm getting to know you now and different people. And to me, I listen to all the callers. I think that's important, just as much as hosts. But I listen to Jerome. And you know, I have to admit, you know, it does seem from time to time, you know, he does seem to have some race issues here and there. But like a certain tyrannical son of a bitch said, who am I to say? Okay, that being said, but that aside, I've never once heard him say a word against Ricky from the Commonwealth. Is it because I have the word Democrat, you know, in there? I mean, I'm the Confederate Democrat. That's more than just a session. I'll say that right now. But I've never heard Jerome say anything.
To be fair, how many other callers does Jerome talk smack about?
Wait. So you're...
Let's talk about a couple of them.
Hang on, Ricky. So you're calling to say... Why has Jerome never mentioned you by name?
Well, I'm surprised he has. And plus, maybe he thinks also...
Talk about ego.
What an attention whore.
Hey, callers, call in and talk about me and my call.
Yeah. Why don't you ever talk about me? Hey, thanks for the call, Ricky. the next time...
The nerve of that guy.
I don't know why he never talks about me. Oh, my.
Try to draw him out by being even more racist than usual, Ricky, and maybe it'll grab his attention.
Yeah, maybe. All right, so we have a couple of things to talk about. This from CNN. Grandmother of teen killed in police stop calls for calm as France prepares for sixth night of violence.
I love French riots.
Why? Are they different than, you know, other riots? Are they battered an egg and dipped before they're fried or something?
No, because eventually they'll, like, you know, pull the monarch out of the castle and cut his head off. Right?
Do you know, like, the, you know, the cliff notes of what's going on in France? Because I only looked through this article briefly. I heard that things were popping off. I saw some videos of, you know, things on fire and people rioting and people shooting and stuff like that.
French know how to do it.
And I was like, oh.
The problem is they do it for socialism and not more freedom.
What's going on in France? So I'm looking, I'm just skimming through here to see if they have a summary. But here we go. France has been rocked by a wave of protests following the death of Nahel, a 17-year-old Algerian descent who was shot by a police officer earlier in the week and whose funeral took place on Saturday at a mosque in the Paris suburb amid heavy security presence.
See? Police brutality burned the country down.
Yeah, isn't this what happened in Minneapolis, basically, when they burned the police precinct?
Yeah.
Right? The cop killed a kid, they had a funeral, and riots ensued, right?
It was the first time that the rioters got, like, the building correct, because usually they just blow up a Starbucks.
Yeah.
Right? But they were like, nope, we're doing the police station.
Yeah.
I went, fantastic.
Yeah. So,
keep that up.
The youth's death in France has reignited debates on policing in France's marginalized communities and raised questions over whether race was a factor in his death. No, statism was a factor in his death. If you didn't have this behemoth organization that only knows one way to do things, and that is by coercion, that is the actual delivery of violence or the threat of violence, these things would be a non-factor. There is a GoFundMe page in support of the family. It's been set up for the police officer accused of fatally shooting the teenager. And nobody cares about that. And if you do, you're on the wrong side. This page was started by a TV pundit and claims the policeman only did his job and is now paying a hard price for it. Yeah, well, you know, how about you contribute some actual value to society?
Did this person get murdered for again?
Yeah, that's a good question.
The officer has been charged with voluntary homicide and placed in preliminary detention. The prosecutor said earlier this week.
Not the cop. Like, what did the kid do that was so egregious that it was a death penalty?
That is a good question.
That's why I'm reiterating what Matt asked.
Right. It doesn't say.
I feel like he doesn't get enough attention when he asks a question.
It doesn't say. Yeah, sorry, this article doesn't specify what the, you know.
In other words, it doesn't matter.
Well, on the off chance.
It sure doesn't, yeah.
Right.
On the off chance, right? Here's Rich coming to defend the cops again. Right? On the off chance, occasionally, they do what their purview is, right? If this kid was, like, beating on an elderly lady.
Right. Sure.
Right? And they tried to yank him off, and he tried to stick the cop with the makeshift shiv or whatever, and the cop drew on him, right?
But you would think the news media would be screaming that from the rooftops.
You would think, which is why you got to ask, because I didn't read the article and Captain scrolling rather quickly. But sometimes it's justifiable, and even though it's the cops, right, you would expect the same response from a private defense force or what you would be allowed to do in self-defense.
Sure.
Right? If you're getting beat on by, you know, some 17-year-old Algerian or whatever he was, right, and he's coming at you with the shiv, right? You have full rights to defend yourself against that aggression and therefore can give it to someone else in agency, in this point being the cop potentially. So we gotta know what the kid was doing. If it was stealing a bag of, you know, Skittles and an iced tea, then, you know, it gets a little sketchy.
Or getting pulled over for being Nigerian.
It is interesting. This article does say that the majority of the protesters are youth. Of the more than 2,000 people who've been detained, the average age is 17.
Because it's one of them.
So the kids are rioting.
Yeah.
This is not the adults. This isn't the, well, you know, the 30-year-olds. This isn't the 50-year-olds. This is the youth.
17-year-old adults. Let's call it what it is.
I mean, I would consider, you know, anyone, you know, probably 16 and up,
but good
to
on
have
them.
The ability. Right? Supposedly.
It's the recognition that you are not exempt from police brutality all of a sudden, and you better start to make your voices heard before they try that nonsense with you.
Yeah, so, at any rate, something's going on in France. Look it up. If you want to call about it, it's 603-283-6160. I have no idea, really. I've only seen the headlines on this, and this article, you know, made it to our show prep, and sadly... because it's a CNN article, it's poorly produced, poorly written, and contains very little information, despite the fact that it's three sections long.
Who goes to the mainstream media for show prep on this show?
Well, this came from a host that's not on the show tonight.
Oh, okay.
So,
and it's in France.
I've just seen the headlines. I was like, oh, maybe we'll find out. And we'll, you know. So here we are.
I'm just putting the other host on blast, that's all.
Here we are.
I don't even know who they are either.
You do.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I probably do, but I really don't know who posted it.
I'll look. We do have our number two story to get to, and this is from Reason. Florida cop jails toddler son for poopy pants.
The number two story. What a guy. Not timeout. Not, you know, not even some corporal punishment, because he's probably for that as well, but... Go to jail. Go directly to jail. You will learn how to poop in the toilet, or else.
Matt, take a guess what state the story is from.
Florida.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
Florida cop. Oh, guy worse than Florida man.
Actually, I did cheat a little bit. I did read through that, but
oh, good, good recall.
It's even
that's not cheating. That's what you're supposed to do as a host.
It's even Daytona, Florida, which is
you did your job did, as a host.
Be prepared, people.
I don't know if you can be on this
show. I didn't read through
yet.
That last one. So.
I couldn't get their CNN article either.
Yeah. At any rate, a Florida police officer was reportedly under investigation after jailing his 3-year-old son. Over potty training trouble.
3-year-olds, dude. 3-year-olds.
Right.
I can't even imagine, like, how brutal and authoritarian do you have to be? How much do you have to live for your badge?
Did he rub his nose in the dirty diaper?
Oh, I guess it's better than beating his kid. I mean, 40% of cops do that, so.
Do-do? Number two story? Yes, but, like, in ways, torture is worse than physical abuse, or at least as bad. And this is definitely torture for a 3-year-old.
Did he put him in Gen Pop, or was it like a holding cell?
A solitary? The officer, Michael Schoenbrod, B-R-O-D, S-C-H-O-E-N-B-R-O-D, I spell that just so you can go find him and ridicule him, told the Florida Department of Children and Families he had done the same thing with his other child when that child was age 4 and acted up in preschool.
Good. Admitting guilt on more crimes.
This...
He's like a cop with not to talk to cops. How old is the 4-year-old now?
I don't know.
Still within the realm of the statute of limitations?
That's a good question.
I guess it's similar to what they do with the Scared Straight program and everything, but this guy's using city resources to punish his child.
Scared Straight is usually like teenagers that are assaulting people.
Right.
Right. This is not a 3-year-old. This is a 3-year-old that hasn't gotten control of their bowels yet.
You have to be able to understand the punishment for it to be effective. A 3-year-old in no way, shape, or form understands what's happening to him. Other than dad's locking me up for what, right?
He was putting handcuffs.
There is a little bit more to this story. 603-283-6160 plus your calls. More Free Talk Live is coming up. Hour number 3 is next.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. Who listens to radio at night? EMTs? Truck drivers? Law enforcement? And many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.